Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. You all know what that means. It means Ross Tucker is in. Ross, I'm excited to talk some Penn State football with you today.
Every week, man. Every week I'm excited for this. I'm actually curious to see what you have up your sleeves this week.
Well, here's what we got. It's the off season, and this is a Penn State team after two disappointing years. We know that. Lots of questions. I'm going to present these off-season questions for you. I want to get your take. Are you ready, Ross?
Yeah, heck yeah.
All right, let's start with this. We all know offensive line is an issue. I keep hearing about all of these players, potential tackles, who it seems like every one of them would be a better guard than tackle. My question is, are there two Big Ten capable tackles on this roster?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw enough from Olof Oshanu in the bowl game to feel pretty good about him, next year. You know, Caden Wallace falls into the Rashid Walker category for me, Jim, in the sense that I didn't see as much improvement as I wanted to. You know, I never thought Rashid improved all that much the last couple years. And I didn't see a ton of improvement from Caden Wallace from 2020 to 2021. I'm hoping he takes a big step forward here in 2022 because he clearly has the physical ability. I think the question in my mind isn't whether or not they have two Big Ten tackles. It's whether they have a third. And a lot of times that's really what separates teams, you know, and their record for the year, how depth and how important it is. I think we saw that Landon Tangwall, who probably has an excellent chance to start at one of the guard spots, probably can fill in at tackle if necessary. I'm still looking forward to seeing what Jimmy Crist brings to the table, but my guess right now is, you know, Wormley will be in the mix at guard, but I would think there's a pretty good chance the guards are Tangwall and Effner, and then if something happens to a tackle, they bounce Tangwall out. That's my early guess, and again, having talked to nobody at Penn State, I might be way off. That's just kind of what I'm envisioning.
Would Caden Wallace be a better guard than tackle?
Well, I think he could be both. I think he's not overly fluid. So I would say if you watch his feet, he's not as smooth or light-footed as you would want. That doesn't mean he can't do it at tackle, but I do think he's probably better suited being a guard, because he's better to, you know, his feet are just better in a smaller area as opposed to with a lot of space.
Got it. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. At linebacker, two out of three starters are gone from a position group that wasn't particularly deep last year. And when they needed the extra linebacker, it was usually Jesse Lucada, who's also gone. There seems to be a position switch. Jonathan Sutherland is going to play linebacker. Is he a legitimate Big Ten linebacker?
In the Sam role, how they would use him, yes. And I see this all the time in college football. All the time, they have Jonathan Sutherland body types playing the Sam linebacker. What does that mean? That means the strong side linebacker, but actually it's going to end up being the smallest, most agile guy. This is the guy that is going to almost always be out on the slot. They're essentially a nickelback because of how often teams are in 11 personnel. So we've talked about this before, but if you ever hear someone say 11 personnel or 12 personnel or 21 personnel, here's all you need to know. The first number is how many running backs are on the field. The second number is how many tight ends are on the field. Everything else adds up to 5, and it's wide receivers. So 21 personnel, 2 running backs, 1 tight end, 2 receivers. 11 personnel, 1 running back, 1 tight end, and then 3 receivers. So it always adds up to 5 because there's the quarterback, the 5 linemen, and then the 5 skill guys. So often people are going to have 11 personnel out there, or they're going to have 3 receivers, that linebacker, the same linebacker, ends up being walked out on the inside receiver most of the time. He's really a glorified safety. You know, he's really a what they call big nickel. And Sutherland is a hitter. Sutherland is physical. And I think he'll actually fit that role very well. Most of the games I do, that Sam linebacker, they usually have a special name for the guy, like Hero or, you know.
Star.
Yeah, Star. What do they call it? Army calls it their Apache, which I think is cool, the Apache position. And that kid's like 5'10", 190. So Sutherland really fits that role. Now, that doesn't mean that teams couldn't come out and play, you know, 2 tight ends or 3 tight ends like Illinois and try to take advantage of his lack of size. But if that's the case, then Penn State has to adjust. You'd rather have more speed and better coverage out there. So I think Sutherland will fit in well at that role.
Tell you what, if I ever become a defensive coordinator, Ross, I'm going with the Apache name too. I love that. That's great. Next question. You've seen the Penn State running backs play. You've seen a lot of Nick Singleton. He's from your home area. Would you make Nick Singleton the primary back right from the start?
So I can't say that until I see Nick Singleton play college football. I think, you know, Singleton's physical ability is well documented. His high school success, including this last season, well, I mean, he's won, how many? I've lost track, Jim, of how many Player of the Year awards he's won at this point. I mean, he's won like, I didn't even know they had this many Player of the Year awards. And Singleton's won like 5 of them. I think he has, here's what I feel strongly about. He's got more juice than the other backs they have. You know, than Holmes, Ford, Kayvon Lee. I think Nick Singleton has some special, special explosive abilities. But he ran kind of a different offense, you know, in high school at Governor Mifflin. They run a lot of option. So it'll be different running a lot of zone running, running out of the gun a little bit. So I can't sit here yet and say that I think that that's what he would be best suited for to start right away, because that might not be the case. Maybe they have a special package for him. Maybe it takes him a little bit of time. Saquon Barkley wasn't the main guy right away. I mean, Miles Sanders didn't even play that much as a true freshman, and he was a 5-star guy. And Saquon obviously was phenomenal. Do I think there's a decent chance that by midway through the season, Nick Singleton's getting the most carries? Yes, absolutely. I think there's a chance of that. But I would not say make him the guy right away. I am very glad he's going to be there for spring ball. I think that that's significant to get him as many reps as possible in this, you know, in this offense, which is different, before, you know, he ends up going and hopefully becoming the starter at some point.
Back on defense, they've lost several critical players, key players at every level. Ibukidi, Ellis Brooks, Brisker. Who's going to be the toughest player to replace on defense?
I'm going to say Ebikidi. I think it's Ebikidi. You know, I think Jair Brown and Keaton Ellis will be fine at safety. Brisker was unbelievable, but Brown showed a lot of ability this year too. How about those Lackawanna kids, man? Jeez. We need to get, you know what, if I was on James Franklin's staff, my first order of business would be getting more safeties from Lackawanna. I don't care if they're slow. See, I don't care if they get more safeties from Lackawanna.
I say we should hire the safeties coach from Lackawanna.
Yeah, really, really. But no, I think they'll be fine at safety. You know how it's well documented how I feel about Brandon Smith. Good player. I just had higher hopes. But I think the Ebikidi, I mean, he and Brisker were their most impactful defenders last year. And I don't know that they have a D-end that will be able to do what Ebikidi did. I thought we saw some positives from Smith-Vilbert in the bowl game. And I'm certainly hopeful about that. But that's not the same as saying that I think Smith-Vilbert will be able to do what Ebikidi did. So, look, I see some people that have Ebikidi going in the first round now of the NFL draft. So, I don't think Penn State has a guy like that. So, I think it's pretty clearly Ebikidi.
Okay. We all know how bad the running game was last season. Could point out a lot of things. The running backs, the offensive line. Is there anything about Mike Yurcich's game plan that caused the running game to struggle, or things that he can do to help the running game?
I feel like I need to do a deep dive on the end zone copy again to have a better feel for it. It's always a combination of things. I thought the offensive line was average, but I thought the tight ends really blocked poorly. And I don't even know who the tight end coach is now. It's Ty Howell, right?
Yeah.
You know, I thought those kids blocked better the year before when Tyler Bowen was still there. I thought those kids blocked better the year before than they did this past year. So maybe that's because it was Ty Howell's first year and Bowen was gone or whatever, but that was certainly something that jumped out to me and a concern of mine is the tight ends didn't block very well. And the thing that jumps out the most, though, to be honest with you, Jim, I just thought the running backs lacked juice. Do I think Yurcich could do a better job? Yeah, I'm sure he could. But average O-line plus average at best running backs plus disappointing tight ends, it's a tough road to hoe.
Got it. All right, Ross, that's it for quarter number two. Great answers to the questions. Stick around. Quarter number three, Ross is going to answer your questions. Stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.